Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for what you've already done and said in this church this morning, Lord. Father, through the songs which have been sung, through the words which have been given, Lord, I just thank you that, God, you are speaking. And, Lord, you speak all the time. And like has already been prayed, I pray that, Father, we would have the ears to hear what you're saying this morning, Lord. And, Lord, not just the ears to hear, the heart to receive and then the will to respond, because, God, you are speaking. You are speaking to your church. You're speaking to us, your people. And I pray that, Lord, everything I have to say, Lord, you'd come and anoint and inspire, Father. We want to hear your words, not mine. And I pray that, God, through these words, we'd be encouraged, Father, to expect even more of you, God, in our own lives, in the life of this church. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. This sermon has a sort of an interesting origin, to be honest, and I want to share a little bit because it's sort of applicable to what has been going on this morning and also what I have to share about. And I was going to get a bottle of Pepsi, I forgot to get it, but I actually sat down to start the sermon a few weeks ago now and to start putting my thoughts down on what I felt was on my heart to speak about. And as I sat down, I had poured a cup of Pepsi, just a small glass of Pepsi, and I was at home on my own. All the girls are out shopping, as the girls always do. I'm allowed to say that. And that's all good. And as I sat at the desk in the study there, the Pepsi was sitting just near me. And as I was sitting there and praying and just sort of jotting down thoughts and ideas, I heard this really unusual sound. And I didn't know what it was, literally. And I was sort of looking around the office of the study trying to work out where it was coming from. And I realised it was the Pepsi. It was actually the sound of the carbon dioxide reacting. It wasn't that I've heard that before, but it was different for some reason. I don't know. And then as I listened to it, I heard the word listen. And I knew the Holy Spirit was speaking. It wasn't me. The Holy Spirit said listen. And then I heard the words, whose voice are you listening to? And I instantly thought, okay, God, is this the direction you want me to go with the message? And I started jotting down ideas about, well, maybe God wants me to speak again about listening to the voice of God. How do we listen to the voice of God? I spoke on a message on that about 12 months ago. And so over there, a couple of weeks, I started jotting down all sorts of different things and doing some studies here and there. And it wasn't quite sitting with me. And I wasn't sure what was going on. I said, God, I know the first bit's right. Whose voice am I listening to? Whose voice are we listening to? That's what you want me to speak about. But it doesn't sit with me, God. And I was getting a little bit frustrated, to be honest. And then last Saturday night, I was doing a bit more. And once again, the same thing. I basically had all the sermon prepared. And I was sitting there saying, God, it doesn't quite fit. It doesn't sit with me still. And then David Odd, last week he got up and he gave a word. Thank you for that, because I got the second half of the sermon straight away as soon as I heard that. And that literally what it was. And I don't remember everything he said, but one thing he did say in that word, or God said through him in the word, was this. I am still in control. I think that's what it was there. And God was saying, regardless of what we see around us, I am still in control. And as I heard that that particular sentence being spoken, Acts 2, this scripture came to light. I am on. Doesn't seem to want to feed. That's it. Acts 2 instantly came to mind, and I knew that's what God wanted me to speak about, the power of his Holy Spirit. And I'll talk later on about why, when I said whose voice he listened to. And Acts 2, verse 1 to 4 says this, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Then it jumps down to verse 14 and 21, and it says this, then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. I emphasize this next part. Listen carefully to what I say. It's one thing to hear. It's one thing to listen. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. God has poured out his spirit upon us. He poured it out on the day of Pentecost. It's interesting, very quickly, and I did talk about this in another sermon. The word poor in the Greek is echo, I think that's how you pronounce it. Not echo as in something echoing, but I think it's echo or something like that. It means to pour out. But the first part of the word, ek, in the Greek means to pour out in abundance, to pour out or to abound abundantly. No restriction, everything was poured out. When God poured out his spirit, he did it in complete and utter abundance. He didn't hold anything back. Then it goes on. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's an incredible portion of Scripture. It's an historical account of what God did on the day of Pentecost. But it's not just an historical account that we need to reflect on and remember once a year or celebrate. Rather, along with Christ's death and his resurrection, which completely broke the power and sin and death for humanity, the day of Pentecost changed forever how every man, every woman and child, Jew and Gentile, rich and poor, black or white, or any nationality, and ultimately God's church, the body of Christ, you, me, could live, should live, and function each and every day as a new covenant Christian. The day of Pentecost moved the goalposts. We know, we talk about moving the goalposts so we know which way to head. Well, God moved the goalposts significantly that day. No longer was the Spirit separated from us. He came and dwelt within us. No longer did he reside within the Holy of Holies, which only certain people could go into a few times a year. We now have the Holy Spirit. You now have the Holy Spirit residing within you. And it's never changed. Those goalposts have never moved again. They are still exactly there. I believe that this morning, and this is what really God impressed on my heart, we're talking about foundational things for us as a Christian, for us as a church. I believe that God wants not only to remind us of some of the foundational truth of his Holy Spirit and what we can expect as a Christian, he is wanting to challenge and stir our hearts afresh of expectation, of faith, once again in regards to the power and the authority he has. And we sung about it this morning. And not only he has, that we have through the name of Jesus. It is our inheritance right now. And furthermore, to remind ourselves once again of the power of the Holy Spirit you have dwelling within your life right now. This applies to both of us as an individual, but also as us as a church. To have that expectation, that a hunger, that God will move in us, God wants to move in us, and with all his power and with all his glory. It's very easy to become complacent with this. And I'm going to talk about this later on because that's a word God gave me, complacency. We've heard this before. I know you know these scriptures. You've probably read them numerous times, just as I have. But sometimes when we hear it over and over and over and we become so used to it, it's very easy to start to fall into complacency. Oh yeah, I've heard this before. This is nothing new. But God wants me to challenge and to stir your hearts afresh. Don't be complacent with what the scripture talks about. The Holy Spirit dwells within you. The same Spirit that empowered Jesus to minister on this earth dwells within you. The same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead dwells within you. The same Spirit that Jesus used to minister, to raise the dead himself, to cast out demons, to speak life into what looked hopeless, dwells within you. And we as a church, we must never, ever forget that. I know I've said this before, and I felt to say it again, and I say it very respectfully if other churches, and I know even myself I've said this at times in the past. We don't need another outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Over the years as I was growing up, I've heard different people say, and I say this very respectfully, we just need to wait for the next outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Then this nation will hear the voice of God. No, we don't need another outpouring because God did it. God completed it. It's in the same way we don't need Jesus to die on the cross again for our sins because he's done it. It's finished. And they were his exact words, it is finished. In the same way we don't need the outpouring of the Holy Spirit again because God poured the Holy Spirit out. Rather, I believe God wants us to stir our hearts afresh, to cry out to God, his church, that we would dare to believe and dare to expect that God's glory would be manifested in all that his word says. Think about that for a second. That we would dare to believe that God would use you, that God could come and use your life to impact someone, that God's Holy Spirit would come and want to change your life right here, right now, in the circumstances you're facing. He does, and he can, and he will. What are our expectations of the Holy Spirit right now? For us as a church, but also for us as an individual. It isn't based on how good we think we've been. It isn't based on whether we think we're worthy or not. You might look at your life and go, God, how could you use me? Look at my life. Look at the struggles I have each and every day. Look at the things I'm grappling with and battling with. That doesn't matter. It said, I will pour out my spirit on all people. He didn't say, I'll pour out my spirit on those who are good, or I'll pour out my spirit on those who are worthy of it, or I'll pour out my spirit on those who do the things I keep telling them to do. He says, I'll pour it out on all people. All we have to do is ask for it. Whose voice are you listening to today? Are you listening for the voice of the Holy Spirit in your life right now? I don't want to get sidetracked, but God speaks a lot more than what we think and a lot more than what we give him credit for. He does speak to you and he will speak to you. You just have to learn to recognize his voice. I think my clicker seems to be struggling this morning. Could you go on to the next slide, please? Thank you. Isaiah 55 says the following, and I felt I was only going to read the last portion of it, but I felt God wanted me to read the whole chapter. And it says this, come all you who are thirsty, come to the waters and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, on your labour what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and you'll delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen, that you may live. I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. Before I go into the next part of that scripture, there's so much you could preach from this chapter alone. You could do many sermons on it. But the first person I want to reflect on is this. Two things. In two sentences, God keeps saying, listen, listen to me. And then give ear. In other words, keep listening. Listen to me. He's trying to make a point here. God's grace is freely given. It doesn't have, you don't have to, you can't give him anything to deserve it or to earn it. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. It's freely there for you to have. God's Holy Spirit is freely poured out to us when we cry out to him. There's no restriction what it's going to be and what he's going to give you. There's no portion control, so to speak. Can you do the next slide, please? I think this has died. Then says, see, I've made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and commander of the peoples. And I've underlined this next part and I'll explain why in a second. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and have mercy on them and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As I was reading that, and this fits in line with part of what David was saying last week in that word, I am still in control, I reflected, and the nation of Australia came to mind when I read that, you'll surely you are some of nations you know not. In other words, God can do whatever he wants. God, through his Holy Spirit, will achieve what looks like the impossible. And as I sat there and reflected on it, I reflected on the nation of Australia. The nation I know today is not the nation I knew when I was growing up. It's changed and is changing. We all know that. Sometimes I sit there and think, God, how will your Holy Spirit ever impact this nation? But guess what? It can and it will. God's Holy Spirit will impact this nation through you and through us as a church. What is impossible to our eyes is possible to God. Absolutely. And let's not ever forget that, how the Holy Spirit can and will achieve what he wants to achieve. Have the next slide, please. And finally it says this, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and the purpose for which I sent it. God's word will achieve what it says. God's word has prophesied that one day he would pour out his spirit, and it did. He did. God's word will always achieve what he wants it to achieve. The very first chapter of the Bible, it says, and God spoke, because he created the heavens and the earth. When God speaks, this nation will hear. This nation will hear the voice of their Father through you and through this church, because that's what God has called us to do, but it's his Holy Spirit that will do it. I felt one of the keys, can I have the next slide up, please? To seeing the power of the Holy Spirit moving in our life is this. We must remain in Christ. We must keep close to God. John 15:1-8 says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. And this is the key. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. And the next slide, please. Then it goes on, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Before I finish that off, in John 5:30, Jesus reminds us, and he says, in fact, he said this a few times, Jesus could do nothing on his own but what he saw the Father doing. He had to lean on the Father to be able to fulfill the ministry he had to do. He could do nothing on his own. In the same way, we have to lean on Jesus, lean on the Holy Spirit to achieve what God is calling us to do, because we can't do it on our own. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done to you for you. Why? This is for my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. Why has God empowered us with the Holy Spirit as our comforter, as our counsellor, and all those other things? So that we would bring glory to the Father through what he does through us. That this church would bring glory to God first and foremost. You've probably heard this analogy before, but it came to mind and I'll share it. I do love sitting around an open fire. It's one of the best things you could ever do. And I love playing with the coals in the fire. Do you get there with a stick and dig around like I do and shuffle around all those things? I love doing that. I love watching the coals when the fire burns down a bit and they're all red hot and burning there. You take one coal out though and that coal starts to die so quickly. And the burning ember you saw, which looked really hot to touch, very quickly starts to die away. But as soon as you put that coal back into the fire, it's amazing how it reignites and comes back to life. That's what the scripture's saying here. As we cling to God, as we keep close to the vine and keep connected to the vine, the Holy Spirit will come and empower you to do what God wants you to do. Will come and empower your life each and every day to help you walk through those storms and walk through those challenges every day. But as soon as we step out from that, we start to struggle because we're not meant to do it on our own. Next slide, please. And when we do that with the power of the Holy Spirit, it says in John 14, verse 12, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." In Luke 10, 19 to 20, it says, "I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." We will minister with the same authority and the same power that Jesus did. And how do we know that? Because God's word will not return unto him void. And the last slide. Mark 16, 7 to 18 says this, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well." God has poured out his spirit for us, church. He's poured out his spirit to you, that you don't have to walk life on your own. And you're not meant to do that, and we're not meant to do that. But whose voice will you listen to today? Whose voice will you listen to tomorrow? Because so quickly when we hear these words, the enemy will come and try and steal that and say, "Well, that doesn't apply to you. How could that mean, you know, that you're related to that? Look at what's going on in your life." Or our own fears, our own insecurities start to rise up within us and say, "That can't be true. No, no, that's just somebody else." No, God is speaking to you. In fact, during the worship, I didn't do it because I knew I'd be speaking in a minute, but I felt really impressed by the Holy Spirit to say to all of you, the words which are being spoken right now are not for the person beside you. They're for you. I say that because people have forgotten the truth of this. Some of you have. These words are for you. Don't look to the person beside you. Yeah, it's for them just as much as you, but it's for you. But don't let the circumstances of what you see dictate to what you believe. That's exactly what the enemy wants us to think like. It can never happen. Well, guess what? It can happen. Why? Because the Word of God says, "Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit," says the Lord. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And I'm saying that prophetically right now for you. This is for you. Don't dismiss it as if it's for somebody else. Don't dismiss it as in, "This is too hard, I can't do it." Yes, you can, not in your own strength, but as you cling to the vine, the Holy Spirit is there to empower you. To use the Word of God to speak against the powers of darkness. To use the Word of God to empower your life each and every day. We have to remind ourselves again, though, whose voice will we listen to? Like I said at the very start, I believe that God is wanting me to challenge us all, and I mean challenge just as much myself, trust me, to stir our hearts afresh, to not allow ourselves to live a life of complacency about this. And I felt to emphasise, I used the word before, don't let us become complacent with the truth of what's been said. Don't come complacent with what we see and believe or think. But to dare to believe that we can, as individuals and as a church, expect to see God's glory shown through us. I believe as a church, God wants me to stir us with this. When we meet as a church on a Sunday, and I wrote this all down. When you meet in your home groups, when the youth meet on a Friday night, and these are not my words, when the young adults meet on a Wednesday, when the music team rehearses on a Tuesday, when the hospitality team function on a Sunday, and any other ministry team that functions within this church, when the women meet for their events, when the men meet for their breakfasts, when the children meet, when we have events like the Easter egg hunt and the Christmas service and other events like that, that we meet with the expectation, the desire and the faith to see the Holy Spirit move through us, because that's what he's going to do and will do. And that God's glory would be manifested with all the power and the authority of what it can and will. And that's the challenge I felt God wanted me to particularly say to all of us this day. He poured out his Holy Spirit upon us with absolute abundance. He didn't hold anything back. So let us cry out to him afresh and say, God, we don't want to sit in complacency with this word. We want to stand up and step out in maybe ways we've never done before. To dare to believe that God's Holy Spirit in us and through you will do incredible things for God's glory and God's glory alone. This morning when I was praying before I came, I saw a picture. I saw this giant man, an archer, I suppose you might say, someone from the many years ago. He was all suited up in his armor and he had this massive big arrow. He was actually standing over the church, and for whatever, I think he was actually pointing that way. And he had this huge arrow in his bow. And as he stood there, he pulled the bow back. Now, whenever you think of an arrow, you think of an arrow as something of death, something that's going to go and shoot to kill. But this arrow wasn't like that. This was not an arrow of death. It was an arrow of life. And as he released the arrow shot up over the church. But the instant it left the bow, it split into many, many parts. It didn't stay as one large arrow. And as that arrow shot out across this nation, everywhere it landed, life grew up. Life broke forth, which looked, it could never break forth. It looked like, how could that ever happen? And it did. Why? Because the Holy Spirit landed where that arrow landed. And as I saw the arrows landed, God reminded me of Isaiah 43:19. And God said, I am making the way in the wilderness and streams in the desert. In other words, what's impossible for us is possible for God through his Holy Spirit. But we need to stir our hearts afresh to see that happen. This is what God is calling us as a church to do, to stir our hearts that once again that arrow would be shot forth from this. And it already is, but even in greater capacity. And that his Holy Spirit would do what he wants it to do. Once again, whose voice will we listen to this day? Will we listen to God's voice? Or will we listen to our own voice? Or the voice of doubt? Or the voice of unbelief, which the enemy will try to make us think? We have the Holy Spirit living within us. Young people, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. God used 12 men to change this world through his Holy Spirit. And he knew the Holy Spirit, they needed the Holy Spirit, because he said to them, what? Wait in Jerusalem. Do not go out and do what you've been doing until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. We've been empowered. You've been empowered. Let's cry out to God afresh, church, and say, God, we want to see you move through this church in even greater capacity. God has been doing it already. We can see that. The fruit of it is very evident. But let's cry out for even more. In fact, when I was preparing this sermon, I haven't shared this with Nick at all or Andy, but I did think of the young people, and as I was writing down that part about the when the young people meet, I saw this church completely full. Totally full of young people. And they cried out to God, and God moved. It was full the whole way along, and they were standing up. You might think, how is that possible? Why? Because the Holy Spirit is working in our youth right now. It's going to continue to work in the youth. We have to dare to believe this is what God's saying. I cry for our youth because I see how much they've got to deal with these days as a teacher. But guess what? God is moving upon our youth and they're doing amazing things, but it's only beginning. You're just scratching the surface. It's going to be bigger and better, not for our glory, not so we can sit back and brag and say, look at our youth, look at how amazing it is. No, that young people will come through those doors and will encounter Jesus again. The day will come where this place will be full. And they will be glorifying God. And I believe that, I say that prophetically. And I encourage our young leaders, don't give up. And I know you won't. It's not by might, it's not by power. It's by my Holy Spirit, says the Lord. I know I'm repeating myself a bit this morning, but I feel I need to emphasise for all of us. I hope this is challenging you. I hope this is stirring you. Be honest, it stirred me and challenged me because I've had to reflect on this in my own life. God, what am I doing? What am I being complacent about in my own life? I don't want to be complacent. I don't want this year to be another year. I want something different this year. Not because I'm dissatisfied. I have a very blessed life. I love my life. But God, I want to see you move more through my life. Stir me out of my complacency. Stir me out of my comfort zone, what I'm used to. And that I would dare to believe that, God, you still have more for me to do. And I pray you would all do exactly the same thing. It doesn't matter how young or how old God is speaking to you. Stir your heart afresh and say, God, let this be something different. Let this year be different. Let us as a church stir our hearts and say, God, what could we do differently this year? We've had a month of prayer and fasting. That's awesome. But let's not stop and say, oh, I've done it now. That's it. We can sit back now. No, let us continue to stir our hearts afresh. That there's something more God has for us. That we'd see signs and wonders flow. That through the middle of worship, people would be healed and restored and set free. I've seen it happen in the past. I'm sure many of you have as well. Let's pray that that would continue to grow even more and more. I'm going to finish up in a second, but it was touched on this morning. Rick said it. Andy Culverson gave a very powerful word, I thought, in our prayer meeting this morning. And he talked about the stream flowing through the creek, the Holy Spirit, and was watering and feeding as the Holy Spirit does. But then the Holy Spirit broke out over the field. I went up to him later on and said, mate, that was a great word, because that's exactly what I believe, the essence of what God's trying to say here this morning. His Holy Spirit's going to pour out over the fields through us. Because it already has, and it's going to bring life to what looks lifeless. It's going to bring hope to what looks hopeless. It just takes us to respond. It takes us with the will to say, God, here I am, choose me. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you for the power of your word. Lord, I pray that what you wanted to be spoken this morning, I have spoken. I pray that God, Holy Spirit, the message you've been wanting to say, I pray it's come through clearly this morning. God, you are able. You are still in control. Nothing has changed and nothing ever will change because God, you are God. You are Lord, you are King. You have all authority and power, and you have given us that same authority and power through your Holy Spirit and through the name of Jesus. I pray for every person here this morning that, Lord, we'd all be challenged with the truth of this. For those, Lord, who have things in their life right now they are struggling with, mountains which seem impossible, circumstances which seem so hard to change, I pray that, God, you would bring your Holy Spirit and bring new life to those situations right now. And, Lord, I pray that we as a church this year would cry out with a new hunger and a desire to see your power move through every facet of this church, Lord, every ministry, I pray, God. Lord, you've done amazing things of the past. But that is of the past. We look now to the future, God, for what you have in store. And we commit this, Lord, to you in the name of Jesus. For your glory, for your honour, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.